Thank you, Dave. I've had a great time getting to know all the Daves here. And if your name is Dave, I know you belong to the First Presbyterian Church of Fairbanks. And also Don. There's a lot of Dons here, too. So if you're not a Dave and a Don, do you feel comfortable here if you're not a Dave? Even the women are named Don here. I don't know. And I've had a real positive experience here discovering how you thrive here in Fairbanks. Now, I understand you're going through a heat wave right now. I come from Sacramento, California, where cold is 38 degrees. And if it gets colder than that, my avocado tree withers. So it's a positive experience of discovering new things, like you don't leave the house without your coat on. Or don't forget to unplug your car. It's like, what? I didn't know people plug cars in. We put gas in them, but so I'm discovering these things, and I haven't made any serious mistakes yet, but I understand there's a penalty when you do. So it's a joy for me to be here, and also for you vets, I just say congratulations and thank you so much. I was a Protestant chaplain for the Fort Douglas military base in outside of Salt Lake City in Utah for a number of years, and look back on that with a great deal of joy knowing the military community and to be their pastor for some time. So congratulations and thank you so much for your investment and your decision to make that investment on our behalf. So thank you so much. That's entitled. They're entitled to that. Thank you. Today is Veterans Day, so we can especially highlight that. We're going to take a look at a parsed verse of the book of Ephesus, or Ephesians. It's a letter written to the church in Ephesus, and Paul is addressing here maybe a question that has occurred to you: how do I become an authentic human being? How do I become a genuine Christian? How do I do that? And the Apostle Paul answers that question, at least in part for us today, in looking at the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I'll begin reading with the first verse. But let me first start earlier, because he leads into these verses with the latter part of the fourth chapter. And he says there in the 17th verse of the fourth chapter, "So I tell you this, and I insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." So it's sort of like Jesus says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." When Jesus says that, it's kind of like, listen up, friends. So Paul then goes, says in the fifth chapter, first verse, "Be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live a life of love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. for it is light that makes everything visible. Now, this is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful, then, how you live, how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't get drunk on wine, get drunk on the Spirit. Great, that's a great image. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and special songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Be imitators of God. Now, when I think of imitations, I generally think of cheap replicas that aren't going to last very long, and you don't want them around very long because they're basically worthless. They're not the real McCoy. Do you know where that real McCoy phrase came from? It came from a poem written in Glasgow called Deil's Halloween. We just got finished with Halloween. Deil's, the devil's Halloween. And the devil's Halloween, there's a phrase in this that goes, "Oh, drappy, oh, the real Mackay." Now, a drop is a drop. A drappy of the real Mackay. There was a Mackay distillery in Glasgow. So it's the real scotch. That distillery doesn't exist anymore. But that's where the phrase "real McCoy" came from. I remember several years ago, I don't know how it was. Do you ever just kind of bruise through or browse through the TV to see what's going on? Somehow I landed on one of these shopping things, you know, they sell all kinds of stuff. And they were saying, I had this beautiful ring, this diamond ring. And they said, this is a genuine faux diamond for you, so cheap. And I go, whoa, it is cheap. And I was telling a friend, well, you wouldn't believe how big this diamond was. It was a genuine faux diamond. He said, do you know what faux means? I said, no. He says, it means fake. This is a genuine fake diamond. Do you know how you know if a diamond's fake or not? Okay, I'll give you two ways to do it. One, fog it up, and if the fog disperses within 3 seconds, you've got a genuine diamond. But if it stays fogged up, it's a fake. But second of all, get a glass of water. You want to be able to see through it, so it's a glass. Get a glass of water and take a diamond, and you drop it into the glass of water. And if the diamond sinks to the bottom, it's genuine. And if it floats, you got a fake. Now, I know all you wives are going to go home this afternoon and drop your wedding rings into a glass of water just to check it out, right? Well, I don't know about that. It came with love. That's all that really mattered, right? Well, genuine. Fake. I was in France, in Paris with my wife. We were on our way to Scotland. We had a layover in Paris. We thought we might as well spend a day or two there. We did. It was a great time. And we went down the Louvre, and out there outside the Louvre was this student selling paintings. And we have a painting in our home that her father had bought a long, long time before. And I really enjoyed that painting. So I thought, when I'm in Paris, here I am, you know, I'll buy this painting from this art student. And there's a school of art there in Paris. And I looked at some of his, all these different paintings. And I said, are you a student at the school of art? Oh, yes, we. And I said, okay, that's great. And I was looking at his paintings. Did you paint these? Yeah, we. And so I bought one. I said, how much is it? He says, $100. I go, whoa, that's a lot more than I expected to spend, but, you know, I'll help a struggling student out. So I bought the painting, and he rolled it up, and I put it on my arm. I was kind of proud. You know, I've got a work of art from Paris, and about a block down the street, there was this booth selling prints. And there was one that was exactly like the one I had, only for sale for $3. And I go, what? And I got mine out, and I rolled it out, and I looked at mine, I looked at that. It was exactly the same. And then there was a stack of them right over on the table next to it. I thought, I was cheated, and I was so angry. I went up, marched right back to that guy, and he was talking to another tourist. He was going to lay this whole Ponzi scheme on them. And I said, you cheated me. I'm calling the police. Give me my money back. And I shoved my painting at the print at him, and he kind of said, well, I said, well, it just shows you can't trust a Frenchman. He said, no, it just shows you I can't trust a Frenchman. And he said, he promised me that he wouldn't be showing this print this day. Well, I don't know how you feel when you meet a fake or somebody's trying to fool you to buy something that wasn't what it really was. On the other hand, that's what the Apostle Paul is suggesting that we do. That we actually become imitators. He says for us to put on Christ. We're put-ons. Pretenders, hypocrites. And Paul says, that's good. If you are pretenders of Christ. He says in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, so I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles in the futility of their thinking. Therefore, each of you must take off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. And in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Oh, that's worth memorizing. You can take that home. Do not let the sun set on your anger. You know why? Because any anger you take into tomorrow, you have to add to the anger of tomorrow. And it accumulates. But even more than that, you try to go to sleep with your anger, you're not going to sleep well. You may not sleep at all. Do not let the sun clear the decks on your anger. And do not let the devil take a foothold. Those who have been stealing must stop stealing, but must work doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to share with those in need. Oh, what an amazing truth there is in that. Why should I work? Well, so I have a roof over my head. So I've got food to eat. So I've got some money in the bank. No, says the Apostle Paul. That's not why you work. Here's why you work, that they may have something to share with those in need. That's why you work. So that you can give shoeboxes to those who don't. Well, go on. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Only what is helpful for building others up. That's what language is meant to do. Not meant to insult. Not meant to embarrass. Not meant to shame. That it may benefit those who listen. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Fake, says the Apostle Paul, is the one who is greedy and bitter and angry and fighting and lying and cheating. And the genuine is the one who's kind and compassionate and forgiving, just as Christ in God has forgiven us. But how do you become that kind of a person? How do you do it? By just trying harder? St. Paul tells us, imitate God. He's not asking us to be cheap imitations of God. But he asks us to imitate God in its truest form. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. You know who the best imitators are? Children. You want to know who you are? Look at your kids. Have you ever heard your children or your grandchildren come out with words that you knew came from you first? Don't do as I do as I say. Do it because I said so. I used to say to my parents, I will never say that when I get to be a parent. Well, guess what? I heard my kids saying, my kids began to, I had to behave myself when I was at home. I thought that was the safe place to be who I was. And my children showed me that's not really who I was. Everything our children do, they learned by imitating. They learned how to walk. They learned how to sing. They learned how to smile. They learned how to play basketball by watching somebody else do that. They learned how to talk by listening to you. I can tell you sometimes whose parents this child belongs to by listening to their accent. They learned how to talk at home. Back in the 15th century, in 1493, King James IV was trying to figure out what was the original language. He knew the Germans spoke German, the French spoke French, the English spoke English, and the Scots spoke Gaelic. But what was the original language? What were people speaking in the beginning? So, to solve his dilemma, his question, he got a deaf, speechless lady to take two infants onto the island of Inchkeith out in the Firth of Forth, just off the shore from Edinburgh. And there they lived together for 5 years, waiting for these children to start speaking and reveal the original language. 5 years later, they were just grunting and whistling. And it wasn't until they were brought back to the mainland they learned to speak. They needed a model. They needed something to be able to mirror. And until they did, there was no communication taking place, at least not verbally. You see, we don't invent ourselves. We are who we are by those we hang around with. And so it's important that we look at who we're hanging around with and asking ourselves, are we influencing them or are they influencing us? That's a good question to ask. So who are you imitating? What Paul says, Jesus has already said. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. They imitate me. Jesus also said, a new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all people will know what? That you're my disciple. Jesus said it first. Paul is telling us what are the implications are of what it is to be imitators of God. You know why God came in Jesus Christ? One of the main reasons? To show us what a real human being looks like. I love the story of Pinocchio. Because there is that place in the story of Pinocchio. That Pinocchio, the little wooden puppet, wakes up, opens his eyes and says, I am a real boy! Now, of course, the story didn't quite have it right because he became a real boy by saving Giuseppio from the whale. Now, that's a longer story we don't have time to tell, except that a real boy, a real girl, is what we were made to be. And the question is, are we And if we aren't, how can we become that? Scripture tells us that we were made in the image of God, and everything that God made, God called very good. You say, well, what happened? Because I know some people that aren't very good, and sometimes I look at them in the mirror. God made me very good. Yes, in the image of God. So how do I become that if I am not that? Paul gives us some illustrations of what it looks like to be in that image. He gives us three illustrations. It's not meant to be exhaustive. He says, first of all, be ever more kind to one another. That's a part of this image that God has created in us. When you are kind, you are being natural, the way you were made. When you're being unkind, you're being a fake. You're being unnatural. You're outside of the way God made you. It should make you uncomfortable. You know, that word kindness is in the New Testament only 7 times, but all times it is used, it is in reference to God. Kind. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. When one strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the left. They ask you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Now, there isn't time to unpack all of that. That's one of the things it means, says Paul. The second thing it means being tender-hearted, sensitive. It's like when you step out the door without your coat on. Be sensitive, tender-hearted toward others. The third thing is forgiving. God forgives. And Paul reminds us that we are forgiving because God has forgiven us. It's not just something that we do because it's nice. It's something we do because it's something we owe. And it's because it's something who we are. That's who Christ followers are. But it's possible not to be that. It's possible to be unnatural. To be the broken image of God. It's entirely possible. Paul reminds us of that. He says that don't be sexually immoral. Don't be impure. Don't be greedy. And he gives us 3 illustrations of what that looks like. He says it has something to do with our actions. And it has a lot to do with our words and our thoughts. He says, first of all, for example, don't shame other people. Second of all, he says, oh, don't use dirty language. Third of all, he says, don't tell jokes at the expense of another person. Why? Because all of that belittles the image of God in another person. In other words, it destroys, or it tries to destroy that image. It tries to make that image become what it isn't. If you would, a faux human being, a fake. But we do business in the fake. So the image of God is so important because that is who God calls us to be. If you want to be who God created you to be, look at Jesus. God came in Jesus to show us what a real human being looks like. And the invitation is, don't just appreciate that, whoa, isn't Jesus wonderful? The truth is, Jesus came for you so that you can be wonderful. Him, the image he created. There is a story, a legend. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how old it is. But it's very old, and the story goes, there was a young man who lived in a village, and he was very ugly. So ugly that people, when they even had conversations with him, wouldn't look at him. They'd look away and talk to him, and then when the conversation was over, they'd turn and they would leave. People tried to avoid him. He was that ugly. And he didn't have any friends. So one day he decided that he was going to leave that village and never come back. He was going to leave them and go somewhere else. Well, they didn't know him. But before he left, He had a friend, he had a person in the village who was a great artist. And he went to the artist and he said, "Would you make me a mask of a handsome young man?" And his friend said, "Yeah, I can do that." So his friend made him this mask. And so this young man, before he left the village, he put the mask on so that everybody would think he was a handsome young man. And he went to another village far away where they didn't know him, wearing his mask. And sure enough, people started responding to him positively. They enjoyed his company and to hang around. They wanted to be near him. And as time went by, he became very popular, and he met a young girl, and they fell in love. And he decided he wanted to marry her, but he didn't know if he dared ask her. But the day came, and he decided decision had to be made. So he took her to a park, and they sat on the park bench, and he said to her, I love you, and I want to marry you, but there's something about me you don't know. And if I were to tell you, you would never love me." She said, No, I would love you. I would love you no matter what. What could there be about you that I couldn't love?" "Oh," he says, it's really awful. And I love you so much, I would like to live with you without you ever knowing this about me." And she said, "No, I need to know. I really want to know. But I'll love you anyway." He said, "I have to tell you, I'm wearing a mask. I'm not really this handsome guy. I'm so ugly." She said, "Are you?" He said, "Yes, I'll show you." He reached down and he took off his mask. And she said, "When are you going to take that mask off? You don't look any different than before." Wearing his mask, he had become his mask. And he was the most handsome young man in the village. What Paul is inviting us to do is put on a mask. Put on Jesus Christ and wear it. And you will find, as you wear, as you imitate the true human being, you will become the true human being, the one that God has made in his image. And the last thing the Apostle Paul says, "And when you do, you become children of light." Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Jesus Christ, so we can know and see clearly who you created us to be. We thank you, O Lord, for your Holy Spirit that only gives us the conviction that we are more than what we are now, but that also motivated to become that which you created us to be in Jesus Christ. And so we ask, O Lord, come, Holy Spirit, put on us that mask of glory, that we may become Christ ones. Amen.